Father, we love you. We appreciate you. We thank you for the opportunity to come together again to listen to your word. Father, we ask you that you just minister to us. We give you glory and we give you honor and we give you praise, for surely you are worthy. Amen. Last Sunday, I read a little thing that I had written about the life that the Spirit produces within us. And this week, the Lord began to deal with me or think about the thought of our following Him. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, Paul lists the fivefold ministries that he has placed in the church. And those ministries were placed in the church for a reason. And in verse 13, he says, until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God has given us insight into the fact that He is developing sons in the earth. And I was thinking this week, all of our decisions comes from that which is between our two ears, our soul, our mind. And yet the Bible says that we are the body of Christ and that He is the head of that body. You know, God is molding a people. He's bringing forth a son in the earth in this hour, in the likeness of His image and His nature. And we want to, I don't know how we put it, but sometimes we want to hold back a little bit of control in our lives. Because for some reason, whether we trust God or don't trust Him fully or something, we want to feel like that we have a part of control of our destiny. But you know, when you begin to look at the Word of God, there's nothing that you can do to please God. God is a spirit, and everything in the, of course, man says, yes, you can. You know, you don't do this, you don't do that, you don't do the other, and you go to church 3 times a week, you read your Bible every day, you pray. God does not look at the outward. That's what He told Samuel. He said, man looks at the outward, but I look at the heart. He looks at the reality of who we are. And He's bringing us together in the unity of the faith. I like the way the Amplified puts that. He says that it might develop until we all attain oneness in faith. He didn't say oneness in doctrine or oneness in the tradition of man, but oneness in faith and in the understanding or comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God, that we might arrive at really mature manhood, the completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, and the completeness found in Him. Now, going back and look at this, He wants us to really mature in the completeness of the personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection. Now, when you look in the Bible, there's nothing in there that tells you that God's going to clean up this old outside man. That's not going to happen until God manifests His sons in the earth. Yet man is trying to put spirituality on the do's and don'ts of what you do. But if we want to get down to what spirituality is, he said in First Corinthians 13, he talks about that if we could give our body to be burnt, we could speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and we could do all of these things and yet not have love, and we're nothing. So by that, he's saying the gifts of the Spirit of things of the outward man without the love can do nothing. And the fact of the matter is, love is a fruit of the Spirit. Love can only be produced by the Spirit. That is God love. And God love is unconditional. You know, I can't look at any of you and say, well, I don't like you or love you because of what you do. And that's what the church does. You know, we've got this set of rules of do's and don'ts. And if you don't do these things that we say for you to do, you can't be a part of us. That's not God. God loves unconditionally. And that's where we are to love, unconditionally. And he is bringing us to the standard height of Christ's own perfection, which is not in this outward realm, but is in the spiritual realm. And the measure of the fullness of Christ and the completeness found in him. The word says that we are, past tense, complete in him. Do we believe what he says about us? 1 John says, now we are the sons of God. It doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when we see him, we shall be like him. Now, what are you talking about, like him? He's not talking about like that man that walked on this earth. You're not going to be like the Jesus that walked on this earth, because that man was flesh and blood, was God incarnate in the flesh. But he was very man and very God. But when Jesus Christ got up out of that tomb and walked out, he walked out in a new resurrected body that could never decay or die again. So when we see him as he is, then we're going to be like him. We're going to be clothed upon with that incorruptible, immortal body that can never die. Thank God for that day, that we are becoming into the completeness of Christ. Now, the first thing that people want to do, they want to try to get rid of Jesus. They want to try to get rid of the Word and take the what they want to do. But Jesus Christ is the center of Christianity. You can't take him out of Christianity. He's the center of Christianity. He was not just a good teacher. He was the divine Son of God. You know, we can't take him out of the equation. He is all that there is. That's what that book is about, is Jesus. And bringing a people into his likeness and his nature, that they may be manifested in this world, that this world may be set free from the destruction and the bondage that is under. And following him, and not following man. And in verse 14 it says that we henceforth be no more children. Hallelujah. I've known people that had been in the church for years and years and years, and they were still babes. If you didn't feed them the bottle like they liked, they'd get huffed and not speak to you or leave the church or, you know, not have any part of it. Because they were still babes, but that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sledge of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. In the Amplified it says, though, so then we may not be no longer children tossed like ships to and fro between chance gusts of teachings and wavering with every changing wind of doctrine, the prey of the cunning and the cleverness of unscrupulous men, gamblers engaged in every shifting form of trickery in inventing arrows to mislead. Wow. And you know, that's exactly what's going on. Man will do everything in his power to protect his tradition and his doctrine, and to make his doctrine fit into what the Bible says. And no matter if you show them that it's wrong, it does not matter. It's not what my grandmother, my grandfather, and everybody in our family has believed for all these generations. That's truth. We fail to realize that God did not stop speaking years ago. That His Word is an ever-unveiling, ever-unrevealing, ever-revealing His Word in the midst of creation. That this walk that we're in is a process. That it's line upon line, precept upon precept. That when you go to build a house, you start with the foundation, the floor joist, the studs, the ceiling, all of that to build a house. You can't leave one of them out. And as a child of God, we start with the foundational principles which do not change. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and our lives are built. But we are to grow. We are to mature. We are to leave childhood. We are to go on to adulthood. We're to get out of mama's tent and get into father's tent and begin to become mature sons of God. And know that we're not cared about with every wind of doctrine or every teaching that comes along. But what we are to be is to be teachable. Jesus said that when the Holy Ghost is come, He will teach you all things. Well, we all know that we've seen things far beyond what we started with. So we've got to be teachable. But yet when I was coming up, there was revival over here where God was moving, everybody would go over to that church. Then when that one died down, they'd go somewhere else. And they never took time to grow up, to mature, to ask what God has. In Matthew 16, verse 24, Jesus said unto His disciples, "If any man come after Me, and will, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for My sake will find it." You know, you see people going around with a cross around their neck, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But we need to stop and realize that a cross is an instrument of execution. And I suppose if Jesus had died in the electric chair, people would have electric chairs around their neck. You know, the cross is a symbol of death and suffering. And Jesus said, "You take up His cross and follow Me." Paul said, "I am crucified." Well, Paul weren't crucified, but what was he speaking of? "I am dead. Nevertheless, I live." See, I was telling a while ago that Paul went through a radical transformation on the road to Damascus. Here was a man. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a Pharisee of the law. He was blameless. I mean, here was a symbol of what a Jewish temple goer was in that day. I mean, here was a guy that had the whole religious order down pat. And he knew in his heart that those people that were believing in Jesus Christ were heretics, and that that was wrong, and he was going to eradicate it. And so he had papers in his pocket. He was, here I'm going, I'm doing God's will, I'm going to get them people that believe in Jesus. And that's what he was doing. Hey, I'm going to get them. They don't believe like I believe. I'm going to kill them. I'm going to put them in prison. I'm going to persecute them. And on the road to Damascus, what happened? Jesus showed up. The one that he was going to persecute against. And his whole life was changed in an instant. The things that he had believed before and fought for had totally changed. And on that road to Damascus began a life. I mean, when he told Ananias to go lay his hands and pray on him, Ananias said, I've heard about that man breathing out threatenings against the church. He was afraid to go do it. And God said, I have, this man is going to suffer much for me. And Paul did. And here from this guy came most of the New Testament that we have today. And he was even more radical than the Jews that were ministering to him in that hour. Because here was a guy that came and did away with the law for the church, that we were not under the law. He gave us the book of Galatians. Here was a man that talked about life and not death. Here was a man that had insight into our day and the things that we were coming into. He died on the road to Damascus. Saul died, and Paul was born to a newness of life. And I'm going to tell you, when God comes into our life and we are spiritually awakened to our status in Him, the I in us dies. Now that doesn't mean that the next day you're going to be a saint. That doesn't mean that you're going to, you know, that's what we base Christianity on. Do you abstain from the things that we don't think is right? That's not it. It simply means that you have awakened to a spiritual realm. That the I in you have died. And you have begun on a life of growth into Christ and into the Father. And he said, deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. In John 10th chapter, Jesus is talking about the good shepherd. 10th chapter, verse 13, he said, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. You know, knowing the voice of God. God doesn't always speak to us audibly. But we know when He has spoken to us within us, ourselves. His revelation, His word. You see, this Bible, and you've heard me say this before, is a bunch of words. People read it all the time and it don't do a thing to them. But when God speaks to you, He takes that word and it applies it in spirit to your spirit. It becomes life. And you grow by it. And He said, my sheep hear my voice. And you know, I've often heard that sheep are some of the dumbest animals in the world. You know, they have to be led to pasture. They have to be led to water. The shepherd is there to protect them, to guide them. My sheep. That's exactly what the Father is. This physical life that we're going through now, it is full of crises. It's full of problems that we face. We're frustrated with the things that we're going through many times. We don't understand what the mountains in front of us are all about. And in our own ability, we can't move the mountains. We can't change the circumstances. Everything, it becomes frustrating because we want life. We actually want life to be a paved highway. But a paved highway will not bring change. A mountaintop experience will not bring us closer to God. As Johnny Rambo used to sing, in the valley he restoreth my soul. He's the God of the night as well as the day. He's the God always within us. And what he does give us, hallelujah, is the sustaining power to walk through the problems and the situations of our lives, looking to him for guidance. He is the pilot of this ship that we are. And he will guide us through the treacherous storms and waters into the safe harbor. And the things that we walk through bring us change. You know, every crisis that we walk through, every problem that we walk through, every hardship that we face, can either do one of two things. It will harden us and make us bitter, or it will change us for the good and bring us into a knowing that God can give us the strength and power to walk through it. There's no storm that has ever lasted. Think of that now. No matter how severe they are, they've never lasted. Hugo is not still around. It's a distant memory. Earl that just passed is no more. The severe thunderstorms that come and go, they don't stay. And the things that touch our lives, many times we think, well, Lord, there's no end. And I've faced those. Well, that I saw absolutely in the natural no way for that to be fixed or any way for that to be changed. But God made a way where there was no way. He brought that storm to an end. He stood in my ship and said, peace be still. And I knew that all was well. He gives us the power and the ability to have joy and peace in the midst of the storm, knowing that he is in control. You know, he said to his disciples when they asked him to get up and do something because the boat was about to sink, he said, oh, you of little faith. Stood on the boat and said, peace, be still. There was a great calm. And in the midst of our storms, God will come. He is the shepherd. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. You see, he does not take us out. That's what he prayed in John 17. He said, Father, I pray not that you would take them out of the world, but that you would keep them. You see, he keeps us in the midst of that. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And I like this, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which is gave them to me, is greater than all. And he said it again, and no man shall pluck them out of my hand. God is leading his children and bringing them in to a deeper and a closer walk with him. He's the shepherd that cares for his sheep. He's a good shepherd. And a good shepherd understands the needs of his sheep. He leads them to the greener pastures and the cool, still water. And he watches over them while they eat so that there's no wolves or anything that comes and can get them. And that's what he is to us. He is bringing and maturing Christ in us. He says, until Christ be formed in you, we are putting on that divine nature of God. We're growing up into that manifestation of God. And I can't do it, and you can't do it. It's only with a relationship with him that we're changed. It's only by knowing him intimately that we're changed. That we can walk with him in that pathway that he is designed for us to walk in. And if we listen, He will speak to us. His words will comfort us. He will give us the understanding that we need to move on in our relationship with Him. We're not going to be manifested until we come in the fullness of His stature. And we're not going to be manifested until we be clothed upon with Christ in His fullness. And it's the realities of this life that is bringing us closer and closer to our Father. He loves us. And you hear me say it over and over again. It's just something that He's just ingrained in me. He loves us. God loves us. The Creator of the universe that placed, that spoke into the existence everything that we see. And everything that we see came out from Him. We were there. Ephesians says that we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. We were there. He cares for His creation. And He's bringing you and I ever closer to Himself. In the midst of the storms, He wraps His arms of love around us and gives us the strength and the grace to walk through them. In the times of victory, we know the jubilant experience of worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, and of realizing and knowing His presence and His power in our lives. Great is He. There's no other God like Him. He's so big He fills the universe, yet His dwelling place is within us. We are His temple. We are the sheep of His pasture. We are the sons of God, the Almighty Creator, that He is bringing forth in this hour to a time of unveiling and manifestation for the world to behold the work that He has done in a people to set creation free. What a mighty God we walk with. What a mighty God that we walk with. What a mighty God that lives and dwells within us. And we live and we move in Him. And we have our being in Him. He is the essence of the life that we are. He is the reality of the life that we are. And He is ever leading us into victory. Because greater is He that is within us than he that is in the world. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus that saved us. We overwhelmingly conquer through Christ Jesus. Paul the Apostle said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He is our strength, our power, our anointing, our love. Again, He is the essence of who we are. And great and mighty is our God. Amen.